back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday, and Wednesday at 10 o'clock, so that must mean it's my good friend, Executive Director, Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. Hey, good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing well. Back from New York last week. Sorry I missed you, but glad to be back with you.
So, Dr. Craig, so much to talk about. I was talking about the fact that Ron DeSantis got a call from the President of the United States. And as much as he has been vilifying the President of the United States about his shortcomings and not doing this and not doing that, he was forced to eat his words. Because what did the President do? The President right away contacted mayors from across, the state in Florida and told them that this nation would be right there for them, didn't wait till after something happened, moved immediately, sat down with Governor DeSantis and told him, in spite of all the things that Governor DeSantis has been doing, the do-nothing president showed his leadership and direction in preparing and letting Governor DeSantis know that the people of the state of Florida are not alone, and that this nation is going to be standing with them as they await what is a horrific future that's headed their way. So, Dr. Craig, how is it then that while he was on, I watched him last night on Sean Hannity, DeSantis. And Sean Hannity was trying to get him to continue the attack on President Biden, but he clearly realized, the folly in that. So do you think at some point in time that DeSantis, now that he sees this, is going to change his tune?
I would love to believe that, Earl. Wouldn't that be a great world if that would happen? I think that President Biden is underrated in his efforts to try to restore the norms that used to hold this democracy together. And it frustrates people on our side sometimes because we want him to take counteractions equal to the threat, equal to what the other side has done. But that does go down to their level and further undermine the basic norms you need to have a good functioning democracy. You cannot write everything in a law or statute administrative rules. People have to have certain basic ethics and a way of conducting themselves, even in partisan disagreements. And we've had that a lot of ways, never perfectly, over the last century and a half. It has been undermined tremendously by this new Republican Party. I think right now that they've completely obliterated norms in regard to some people and not others. So we still have this norm that if you have a natural disaster, you're supposed to do your job as a governor or president, right? And so DeSantis is still here adhering to that norm, understanding that it's held by the general public, and if he did anything that prevented the federal government from helping Floridians right now, that would be politically toxic to him. And I'm not even saying he holds these norms, saying he thinks he politically has to uphold them. But when it comes to an issue like the immigration issue, where they've defined a whole bunch of fellow human beings as other, as the enemy, as insidious, and therefore we don't have to treat them in a humane way at all. We can, in fact, according to Ron DeSantis, just use them as as pawns in a political game. These are people seeking asylum from an authoritarian country who are very worried, understandably so, and simply looking for a better life. And he treats, dehumanizes them that way. I don't think this changes that, unfortunately. But you are very right to call out the contradiction and the difference between DeSantis' behavior on immigration and towards those migrants who were here legally seeking asylum from Venezuela, and how all of a sudden there's going to be a natural disaster that affects everyone, and now he's going to act like a governor.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate, Dr. Craig, because again, just the way he's been acting and his behavior, maybe this is his come to Jesus moment. Maybe he finally realizes that, hey, I've been playing with people's lives, and now, you know, citizens of Florida, many of them, their lives and their livelihoods are in jeopardy, and maybe he'll just now see people as people, right? I mean, in the end, that's what the come to Jesus moment may be for him.
It happens, but too infrequently. And the problem with the current Republican Party is it's been entirely about power. You'll see people who know better capitulate to whatever will get them more power, get them a majority in the U.S. Senate or the presidency or majority in the House of Representatives, any kind of power. And so you have some transformations. Look, Liz Cheney has certainly acquitted herself extremely well. There were limits for her as far as how far you could go in political contest, right? And that there were basic democratic norms. And she's even though she's deeply conservative, and I agree with her on most issues, she came around on marriage equality, and famously her sister is lesbian, and she had a position that was that oppressed her own sister. She said she was wrong about that and has changed her position. So I like to see we've had a few Republicans do that. I don't really believe the Charlie Sykes conversion. Maybe you can tell me that I'm being too hard on him.
Neither do I.
But some of the conversions, I think, are legitimate, but they're few and far between, and they're usually people who aren't in power. I mean, Liz Cheney was willing to give up her seat to do the right thing. Almost none of them are. You don't see Mitch McConnell willing to do that.
So do you think that Tim Michaels conversion
Did he change his crazy position on abortion?
Yeah, I'm wondering.
I heard he had, but I'm not surprised. That's not a defensible political position.
So do you think he had a conversion? Or, I mean, he said for 20 years, this is the way, he's been believing, and he wasn't going to change for anything. So what brought about his change?
I mean, conversions that occur in the midst of a close campaign are not to be believed generally. And I don't believe any more than the Ron Johnson conversion that he's fine with abortion up to 20 weeks. Because and PolitiFact, because they can get really hidebound, claiming that agreeing with him on that because he said it. Like, okay, Betty said it. Is it up for you? You haven't seen. Do you think that the man in his 12-year career in the Senate shown any reliability on anything? Even when he's for the right thing, you end up voting for the wrong thing.
you know, Dr. Craig. Tomorrow, I'm going to be joined by Attorney General Josh Call. And so he'll be in the studio for 45 minutes. I'm really happy to have him on. But my plans from now throughout, you know, the next 40 days is to have people who can come in and certainly talk about these issues, Dr. Craig. We're 40 some odd days out, and there's nothing more important than us getting the truth out to people who have been misled. And, you know, I was telling people about a rag called Wisconsin Now, or whatever this thing is called.
Oh, is that the Jessica McBride thing? I've seen horrible things in it.
Yeah, and it is a horrible, horrible piece of, they call it journalism, but it's full of lies. And it is really behind all of these horrible lies that we're getting on these commercials. And so, you know, that Ron Johnson and Tim Michaels and others are taking that stuff to be true. So my plan is to refute it and bring in people. I've already reached out to the Secretary of Corrections and others to come on and just explain, you know, how corrections works. And not go by what Jessica McBride and others are saying and telling these flat-out lies, Dr. Craig. I mean, it is unbelievable how low these people will stoop to try to win a seat.
Right. We're back to vigilante justice, lynch mob justice here. You know, someone is accused of something and or someone was convicted decades ago of something and now they're non-human and now I can just say we should have no pardons whatsoever and end parole. That's what Michaels is saying. And that's based on this. Look, it's public safety matters a lot. We do not have that level of public safety situation where we can't have parole, right? Parole is earned, and in fact, parole makes everyone safer because you have an incentive to get your life together so that and to behave well in prison, so you can try to prepare to have a life. I mean, it's not fun to be in prison, right?
So, Dr. Craig,
it's just the department, horrendous.
The Department of Corrections, right?
Right. Well, we've gotten away from that too much, but it's still supposed to be. In fact, we should invest a lot more in that. Prisons have become very poor at that because we've cut the money, but for all the rehabilitation out of which comes out of this right wing philosophy that you just throw away the key. But this Jessica Bride and this what right something now, something with the right in it.
Right now, Wisconsin.
She's doing this series where she profiles people that Tony Evers has pardoned, and that the headline above all is Tony Evers is rapist and murderer.
Yes.
And Mandela Barnes is in the pictures, and then there's a picture of a scary-looking black or brown man and a statement on what horrendous crime he had committed. No context. Do you think that Governor Evers, of all people, is going around looking for dangerous people to pardon? No, there's a basis for the pardon. How long the person is served, whether it's unclear whether he or she was guilty in the first place, things they've made themselves into. Maybe they're a completely different person now. I mean, it's like that speech from Shawshank Redemption that finally gets Morgan Freeman paroled, where he says, he explains what he'd say.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesdays at 10 o'clock, so that means it's Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, it's hard to listen to the conservatives in this state. We do know that the elections are around the corner, and we also know that they're doing everything within their power to prevent people from voting. And so how do you then believe that people who claim to be for democracy, but every chance they get, they're looking to turn people away from their constitutional rights? We know that this is going to ramp up even more as we get closer to the elections. Where are we at now with the pushback from people on the right as we prepare for this election?
Well, we're in a precarious situation. We still have a right to vote. It's harder than it needs to be. They will stop at nothing if they elect Governor Michaels as governor. If we have a Governor Michaels, then they will make it much worse and much harder. We'll get that much closer to losing democracy altogether. I do think, so there's clearly no stopping point. In fact, the difference between the MAGA Republicans and the ones that aren't on board, the small number, particularly the ones who are elected, who are willing to risk their seats, most of them lose their seats when they dare say this, is that they'll disenfranchise people. They'll do photo ID, the ones that are against MAGA, but they won't go to the point of just canceling elections, decertifying election where the other candidate won. What we heard from Roger Stone in the, that's been released this week, right?
Dr. Craig, that is just unimaginable that a man could say that. I know, but Dr. Craig, to have all of that stuff on footage, and somehow those people should be locked up.
And they're arrogant. I mean,
yes.
You're doing that kind of thing, and you have documentary crews following you around. He wants all of his brilliance to be known historically, right? And you know what? If they write the history books, as what William Barr, the Trump Attorney General, said, everything is determined by who gets to write the history book. So I think Mr. Barr determined that Trump wasn't going to write the history book and he better change sides. Until then, he hoped that the Trumpists might. But this corruption where basically the political game and winning and losing trumps any kind of basic democratic values, I think there's an argument to be made that that corruption, that rot, kind of like the fall of the Roman Empire corruption, right, started much earlier, and it also included the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party has not gone to the point of disenfranchisement, but they were willing to play games with people's rights. I'll give you an example. The last time, the only time, there was full Democratic control in the 21st century of Wisconsin legislature and the governor's office was 2009 to 2011. We were unable to get through nonpartisan redistricting. There was opposition from Democrats and Democratic political groups that wanted to gerrymander the state for their own benefit. We were unable to get automatic voter registration, even though we got Governor Doyle, a very conservative governor, to support it, and his deputy chief of staff was working with me directly on it. We couldn't get to the legislature there because we couldn't get Democratic unity on it, and there was some concern about whether it would be to partisan advantage for Democrats. So this has been developing for a long time in this tension, and I really think we need to not only restore basic democratic norms and have voting easy for people, that the only basis for regulating elections is actual corruption, not fake corruption. They're making up the corruption of voter ID under Scott Walker and other Republican governors a decade ago, well before Donald Trump even decided to run for office. But the Democrats were playing games as well. And we need to, if we're going to restore democracy, Earl, I think we need to get to a point where everyone really has faith and trust in elections, and every dirty trick you can imagine, like trying to remember, during the marriage equality amendment, which was a sleazy amendment designed to help Bush win in 2004, the Democrats side in the state tried to do voter confusion ads that got Waukesha County voters who were anti, gay rights to vote for the wrong way. In other words, to confuse them. All of that stuff is also a corruption of our democracy. It just isn't as extreme as what the actual threat to fascism that the Trump wing of the Republican Party that's dominant offers us.
You know, Dr. Craig, if it does not matter, whatever it is that you know is wrong, and you support that, and you say, well, I'm opposed to gay marriage, and so those people don't have any rights because the Bible says, But then you say, well, you know, democracy, I believe in democracy. Well, you really don't. You can't pick and choose, you know, what parts of democracy you wanted. Democracy includes it all and everybody. And anytime you choose and say, well, you know, I'm for this, but I'm not for that, you know, I don't want immigrants coming here from Mexico, but immigrants from Europe is all right. Well, then, you know, you need to check yourself. Because
and maybe Earl, after the break, I can ask you whether you think the Democratic politicians giving money to MAGA Republicans supporting them, in other words, in primaries, is also a corruption of democracy.
So, Dr. Craig, we got to go to a break, and yeah, we need to talk about that. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, join us. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. And you know, Dr. Craig, you were asking me before we went to break what my thoughts were about Democrats financially supporting, you know, candidates during the primary who were not MAGA Republicans, and that somehow, you know, I have issues with Democrats as well as Republicans, Dr. Craig. I just do sometimes. I don't understand the mindset of many of them who, you know, in many instances, are no better than the people that they're fighting against. And we just get to a point where, you know, we can't seem to understand that if we're going to do things that are not right, that doesn't make us any better because we have a D or somebody has a D in front of their name than people who have an R in front of their names. It's not the D and the R, it's the person, you know, and the character of who that person is. And so whoever came up with that idea and whoever seconded it and then put all that money into it, Dr. Craig, I thought it was foolish then, and I think it's foolish now.
Current candidates out there starving for money, and it's going into playing these games, right? And right. It does undermine basic democratic norms. In other words, when you go to conservative voters, and then they're going to point, if they've been given the truth at all, they may point to things the Democrats have done that are undemocratic, and they would have a point as long as it isn't completely made up by Fox News hosts, which is also possible. You notice the Fox News hosts always play whataboutism right now. Most of the time, the what about is made up, like that Black Lives Matter was a violent terrorist movement. But the point is, they don't defend their own norm. They say everyone does it. And I do think that that has helped undermine democracy. I think the way ads run on both sides, there is no idea that we should actually present the candidate on the issues or the candidate as is. We should find something, some little thing that we can blow up and discredit the other candidate. I used to joke about Wisconsin, both state Supreme Court races and attorney general races, that it was always kind of like a good guessing game to imagine how each candidate was going to be linked to child molesters somehow, some way, right? But you can make fun of that, but how does that's all the voters hear is those accusations. Remember, there was an attempt to connect Justice Hagedorn when he upset a more progressive leaning judge in that race, shifting the balance of the state Supreme Court to connect him to the clergy sex abuse scandal. I think that stuff backfired, actually, and it does trash Democratic norms, just to always find some awful thing that every Supreme Court justice or attorney general candidate can be accused of because of one, and, you know, some of the Republican ones have been unbelievable. I mean, the most infamous being Judge Gatelman's ad against Lewis Butler, the first African-American Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, loophole Louis Butler is what they called him, because the same thing basically that they're talking about with Governor Evers, letting criminals out. And you know, Dr. Craig, the truth about all of that with letting criminals out is that, you know, and why it's so important that we get the Secretary of Corrections on to explain, you know, that by law, many of these people had to be released. They were released because they were pre-Scott Walker and three strikes, you're out, and truth in sentencing. And so their time was already set when they had to be released. And so that truth is not going to be out there unless, you know, we bring somebody on to tell that truth and who understands. And the worst part about it, Dr. Craig, is even though we'll bring those people on to tell that truth, it's people, for the most part, just for whatever reason, they're bought into this that Democrats are no good, where Republicans were good. Republicans are no good. Democrats are good. And that whole simplistic way of looking at things has helped destroy the body politic in this nation.
Right. And that's what you see it metastasized in the current Republican Party. I mean, they have no inflation plan, but they want to run on inflation, right? They have no legitimate crime plan. Their plan on crime, what, throw away the key? And they're overstating crime massively, making people feel much more afraid than they ought to be. People should always look out for their public safety, but quite frankly, this is not something out of some dystopian movie out there.
You know, Dr. Craig, I said this earlier, to think that, you know, the crime in the city of Milwaukee is somehow going to make it up to Shawano, or it's somehow going to make it up to Rhinelander. And so we got to, that's the number one issue is crime. It's not. Right? I mean, it's not. And there are people who are struggling to make it every day in a society that's the wealthiest on earth. We need to figure that out. That, to me, to include everybody in the American dream. These are the issues. These are the focuses to make sure that there is a future for children, and that after your and my generation is gone, that we don't leave them with all of these issues that we are dealing with, that we created, your and my generation created. To me, those should be the issues, right? I mean, you know, not that we need to put more money into the military-industrial complex. You know, not that we need to pull certain books out of the school systems. If that's the number one issues on your plate, you really don't have any troubles, right?
There's something odd in the last Marquette poll. I don't know if you went below the top lines. But if you dug into the crime issue, which is, of course, polling is a major issue, partly because they've tried to create this crime panic, the vast majority of the people who think crime is a major issue for them in voting say they feel personally safe and their personal safety is not threatened. So it's a cultural issue almost. It's just code for there are dangerous bad people, the other, which is, of course, coded as racialized others, right, in our society, are with Mandela Barnes and with Tony Evers, and that one Mandela Barnes ad puts it perfectly, expresses the idea. It ends by saying that Mandela's not with us, he's with them. And so crime is not about crime. You see what I mean? Ironically, because these people who are voting on crime don't feel themselves personally unsafe.
Let's do this. Is CJ still on the line, man?
Yeah.
CJ, you there?
saying?
All right, you want to respond to anything Dr. Craig had to say?
Well, I would. I'd like to cover a number of topics that you gentlemen, the revelation thing for Tim Michaels, quickly. The revelation thing of his
epiphany
on abortion. Yeah. You know, yeah. Well, it was okay for Barack Obama to conveniently before an election to figure out about same-sex marriage. So that's one issue. I'd like to talk about how about the mere fact that who wrote the end cash bail bill for Wisconsin? Who wrote that, Earl? You know, as
who, so let me say this. So even if he, even if he wrote it, he couldn't pass it alone, could he?
Because no one wants it.
My point, CJ, is you say and others in Republicans say he wrote it. Does he have the power unilaterally to pass a bill like that?
Thank God, no.
Okay, so
thank God, no. And the more we find out about him, the less we like him. The mere fact that you know, I could go on and on. He never speaks about inflation. He only talks about abortion and crime, and he's backtracking on his defund the police. He worked for organizations that believe in that. So, you know, I could go on.
I know, but CJ, here's what you need to understand.
Yes,
I know Mandela Barnes. Dr. Robert Craig knows Mandela Barnes personally. We know who he is. So I think we certainly know him a lot better than you, you are saying.
We're learning, and we don't like him. We don't like what he believes.
Dr. Craig.
We don't like what he stands for.
Who is we?
So, you know,
who
Madison
is we?
Now has crime.
CJ,
Earl, that we never
CJ,
had.
Who is we? So, Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
Buddy believes in ending cash bail. Well, that's not true because I do. Let me just explain, and I think Mandela Barnes has been courageous in standing behind this, even though it was going to be misused. Cash bail does not ending cash bail does not prevent you from keeping people who are a public safety danger in jail. But you have to make that assessment. What it says is you should not be held in jail because you are too poor to pay bail. In other words, incarceration without due process of law simply because of your poverty. And so it ends poverty as a crime. It's still within the discretion of a prosecutor and a judge to recommend, and then a judge would agree that this person is a danger to the community and should be held. And so ending cash bail, first it wasn't ended here, but second it has absolutely nothing to do with the man who came out and committed the Waukesha Christmas Parade massacre. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. So it's just straight out lies to scare people being used by the other side. And if they had a good critique of Mandela's criminal justice policies, mightn't they actually talk about his actual criminal justice policies and what theirs are? Because defund the police is not a policy per se. It was a slogan from the streets among frustrated people who weren't seeing anything done about police abuse of marginalized communities. Okay, and it is not Mandela has never has been his criminal justice policy, and the organization work for MICA is very sophisticated in criminal justice reform. They don't support just ending policing altogether, what you would call abolitionism. So it's all based on lies and misinformation, and you're just going to wonder about a party and an ideology that has to completely make things up in order to hold power and win elections.
CJ,
and ICE, abolish ICE. How about the fact that
CJ, what about Republicans? What about Republicans who say do away with the FBI? Do you blame that on Ron Johnson? Do you blame that? What?
Yeah. I could explain that, but you won't give me the time.
Explain it quickly.
You know,
it shouldn't take long.
Blake?
Explain it. No, explain Republicans saying, what's the difference between Republicans saying defund the FBI and people saying defund the police? What's the difference?
Because we used to trust the FBI to not to be politicized.
So you mean to tell me people who don't trust the police department based on, again, factual information?
60,000 police were injured in on duty last year, you know, and your party only cares about the 144 that were injured on January 6th. It took, I've said this before, Martha's Vineyard for you, your party, to care about illegal immigration. It took January 6th for your party to care about crime. We now have crime in Madison because of
Let me tell you something. CJ, there was always crime in Madison if there wasn't. Wait a minute. How long have there been police in Madison? Did they just come out? All right, got to go to a break. Dr. Craig, I'll let you respond on the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. As always, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is with us on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. Dr. Craig, how do you respond? You know, CJ represents an awful lot of people who think exactly like him, and yeah, truth just can't enter, right?
Yeah, and what the problem is, you know, in this conversation, Earl, we have been willing to criticize Democrats. I see no criticism of his side from CJ, so it's hard to find common ground. So let me give an example, like President Biden's trying to give examples of following norms. I will agree with one thing CJ said, and that is that Barack Obama and the Clintons before him were overly tepid on marriage equality and were trying to play politics with it and weren't for it until it was popular. And I think that's wrong, too. And I think that they would be much better off of having the bravery that Mandela Barnes has shown in standing up against cash bail, which has nothing to do with public safety. It has to do with violating people's fundamental constitutional rights because they are poor, saying you have to go to jail if you can't post bail, okay, regardless of whether you're a risk to the public safety or not, as judged by due process, by a judge, and recommended by a district attorney. And so Mandela Barnes has been brave on this and has been punished for that, right, by CJ and his side. Obama has probably been given too much credit as a progressive, given that many progressive issues he wouldn't support until they were in his political interest of support them.
That's absolutely correct. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, Bill, you say what?
Yeah, I'd like to address CJ. By the way, Earl, again, I'm going to call you governor. You need to be governor. You really know how to work at solving. No, you do. You solve a problem. But let's address CJ today. I want CJ to hear this. Fox News is now blaming the hurricane on Biden. I'm not teasing. I'm not teasing. It's not a joke. Fox News said, and I quote, of all times when Biden has bankrupted us with inflation and these giveaways to students, there'll be no money for the hurricane. My question is, did DeSantis have a rainy day fund? Because he ought to have some money for the hurricane, or did he spend it on doing political stunts like paying for buses to go to Martha's Vineyard? Now, to argue with CJ the way he wants us to, I refuse to do it. I want to ask CJ if he believes that this is a grand conspiracy to take him and his people down. He has to be asked that question. And if he does, if he admits that, let's take it a step at a time and peel back the onion. And let's look at each layer where he believes This is a vast conspiracy to destroy all Republicans as we know them today. Or CJ, can you admit there's a little the wheels are coming off the bus? If you don't, that's okay too. But I have to understand where CJ is coming from. Does he believe that the FBI, CIA, Pentagon, Joint Chiefs, the Army, the Navy, admirals are all out to get Trump and his followers? If he says yes, well, then we understand where he's coming from.
Hey,
thanks.
Hey, Bill, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Craig, it really is. At times, I really do get frustrated because things that should make sense aren't making sense to people, and so it's almost like, you know, they're puppets, and they're just going to repeat what they hear on those sites and things, and then that impacts the bottom line in what happens in this country when people don't find these things out for themselves, Dr. Craig. Don't do a little research on their own and just listen to what people say.
To right-wing talk radio or watch right-wing opinion TV, which you do, Earl.
Right.
And so do I. I want to monitor the other side. You could understand it as an ongoing rationalization of feelings people want validated. In other words, people believe what they want to believe, and they love people who give them alleged facts that support those beliefs. And, you know, we're all guilty of it to some degree. I think that it's important for all of us to check ourselves. If we hear something that absolutely confirms what we believe about the world, maybe we should try to maintain some critical attachment and ask ourselves if that sounds right, if, particularly if there's reason to believe it doesn't. When you describe the other side as taking a position no sensible person would ever take, it is probably not true. Right? The difference being the MAGA wing of the Republican Party that we now know supports things such as decertifying elections that went to the other side. But unless you have that kind of fact base, you should wonder, do they really believe in barbecuing babies in the basements of pizza parlors in Washington, D.C.? Does anyone, right? A whole political class is for that? Do you see what I mean? So we've lost that kind of critical thinking skills, but we all need to practice it, right? We can all jump to believe something that conforms with our view of the world, and it can, and that individual piece of information could turn out to be untrue. And that's the only way a Fox News claim that somehow we don't have the money for hurricane relief. The only way we wouldn't have the money, Earl, is if the Republicans keep playing games with the national debt limit, which is simply a vote on paying bills they've already expenditures they've already agreed to make. But that's the only way you could run out of money is the brinksmanship the Senate Republicans and the House Republicans have been playing with the meaningless national debt vote that they've made not meaningless because they're willing to bankrupt the country and have us not pay our bills.
You know, Dr. Craig, it to me, the more you watch this, the more you realize the depth of the despair and trouble that this nation is in. And so, you know, instead of there being some common ground, this separation that almost appears to be insurmountable, and again, insurmountable because of the MAGA Republicans. I never thought I would ever ask for to hear more from Mitch McConnell than you know, and looking at him as a stabilizing force. But if you look at him, it seems like, man, he's even more stabilizing than these others.
So he is willing to enable and play games with them and advance his power. So he's as dangerous as they are. He's part of all the Republicans who know better and play along. Robin Voss is one of them, too. are part of risking the world's oldest large-scale democracy, which really is at risk in the next couple of years.
All right, Dr. Craig, we got to run. Thank you very much. As always, I appreciate it. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow again in the 10 o'clock hour. I will be joined in studio by Attorney General Josh Call. We'll see you guys tomorrow. See you later.